down, buckle up, and turn the volume to 11. This is the Auto Action Rev Limiter with Auto Action's Bruce Williams and Paul Gover, and your host, Andrew Clark.
Hello, viewers, and welcome to the Auto Action Rev Limiter for the Australian Grand Prix Week, one of the two or three biggest motorsporting weekends for the year down under, a weekend where the eyes of Australia and the world centre on us like no other event we host in this country. But we'll just be another walkover for Max Verstappen. We'll have a bit of a look at that later. And what are the supercars falling to fourth on the billing and not having fans allowed in the paddock? We'll discuss that too. So to help me with that and more, please welcome Auto Action's Bruce Williams and Paul Gover. Brucey, how are you going today?
Well, Andrew, it's a big, big week. We've got we've just had a magazine deadline on Monday night, and we've got all the lead up and the excitement to the Grand Prix. We've got lots of media activities. We've got lots of things going on. All the celebrities are in town, and it's a busy, busy week.
There'll be plenty of news for us to digest in a couple of minutes. PG, what's your day been like, or how have you been going?
Yeah, I've been good. I've been driving all day, which is fun. I enjoy that. Although I've got to say that my good friends at Telstra managed to have more than 40 dropouts today, reporting from where Bruce normally lives.
We don't want to talk too much about that, do we?
No.
Now, so let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with the news.
Hi, I'm Alice Buckley and I'm racing for AC Delco in the Toyota 86 Series.
Hey guys, Jared Hughes here, racing in Super 2, proudly supported by AC Delco.
Hey guys, Aaron Borg, driver of the AC Delco Isuzu D-Max in the Super Ute Series.
Hi, I'm Ronnie Palumbo, driver of the AC Delco Monaro Slammer.
Hey, I'm Brock Feeney, driving the number 88 Red Bull Ampol Racing Camaro, supported by AC Delco.
Hi, Craig Lowndes here. We all trust in AC Delco, and you should too. Because certainty starts here. Check out the full range of AC Delco All Makes Auto Parts at acdelco.com.au.
So let's quickly jump through the news, boys. We led the news this issue in the magazine with the Supercars board stoush. Bruce, we've been talking about this for about a month. Let's have a quick chat about how it's playing out and where we think it's at today.
Well, it's obviously a story in the magazine, but we broke it on online on Monday. And yes, look, I got a phone call from Darth Vader. I think it was Thursday or Friday last week, asking us why we hadn't talked about it. And my response to him was, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about, because obviously, if we knew what you were talking about, Darth, that we would have run with it, because we all know that you can't be possibly sitting on stories." But we heard a bit of whisper probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. There was a little bit of disharmony in the race board. It's not the Supercars board; it's the race board, and race are the people that race. Racing Australia Consolidated Enterprises. They're the people that bought Supercars a couple of years ago. And the two prominent people that Auto Action followers would know would be Barclay Netterfold, who's the chairman. Is that the right description, Andrew?
Yes, AKA Barks.
Barks, and Barks from Brighton, and the legend of Australian motorsport, Mark Scaife, who was very much instrumental in getting a lot of motivating and engaging people like Barclay Netterfold and giving them the idea and the excitement and the enthusiasm, I suppose, to go out and spend the money and to get ARG involved. And we talked about how Gary and Barry have sold their shares a couple of weeks ago. So, again, it's about and I have said this a few times, you know, and I've said this to Barclay to his face. I mean, at the end of the day, a couple of years ago when he came on board, you know, there's no doubt he probably didn't know much about motorsport. He wouldn't know a spark plug from a sparkler at a Christmas party. But it's been a couple of years now, and he's been going to events and obviously talking to lots of people, and it's a major focus in his life. And over that period of time, he's obviously learnt a lot. In the early days, it was Scaife Mark was really the bloke with the knowledge and the connections, and he made a lot of things happen. But, you know, from what I understand and just talking to lots of people and a few people, and, I mean, it's been no secret, it seems that Barclay and a few of the other board members, or particularly Barclay, is wanting to make some changes and maybe, you know, start to put their own stamp on supercars, and you know, he's probably armed with a bit of information, a bit of knowledge that he didn't have a couple of years ago, and I think there's some resistance from within.
Well, there you go. So, PG, what have you been hearing?
Yeah, same thing. Basically, you got two roosters in one hen house, and as I understand it, they've both been told to make nice, and if they can't work against each, much better if they actually join forces and work together rather than trying to work against each other. Hopefully, if that comes about, and you've got two blokes with different skill sets and stuff, then maybe it's good. But yeah, I don't know how this is going to play out, but it's been pretty ugly recently. And when ordinary foot soldiers in the garages are asking you what's going on, then obviously the news is not being restricted just to the boardroom players at race.
Yes, definitely. Anyway, so it's one we'll keep a watching eye on because we don't think it's solved yet. But
just before you put it into neutral and roll down the hill, you did in fact attempt to talk to Mark about this, did you not?
Oh, we did. We had a chat about it ages ago, and turned a little cranky. But you know,
you got cranky with Scafie. That's pretty.
No, the other way around.
I know. I was just, having been at the other end of what you're talking about, I know exactly what you were.
The point of the matter is, yeah, the point is that we did reach out to both Barclay Netifold and to Mark Scaife. They're both playing with a straight bat and basically saying there's nothing to see here. But, you know, everybody on either side of the, and there's, you know, everybody outside of the cone of silence is talking about it, and it's real. But what's interesting too, and I did, you know, I was asked the question, oh, where would I be hearing all this stuff from? The reality is that there are people agitating close to the sport for particular outcomes to happen. So they've been stirring the pot, and, you know, a lot of that could be part of what's going on. But you know, it's one of those little stories that would need to be told. And as we said in the story, watch this space, because I don't think it's going to go away.
Well, and the other thing I first heard about this from one of the shareholders of race, who was not happy about the whole thing. You know, and he was just venting. But then when I started hearing questions again, as I say, from the first round up at Bathurst, from ordinary people in the pit lane, then you've got to figure it's leaked out in fairly comprehensive fashion.
Yes, but I think it's one of those ones where they, as you said, if we put them in the sandpit, it's good if they play together rather than throw their spades at each other. So hopefully we'll get a resolution that works for the sport. I think that's the only bit that counts here is making sure we've got a good way forward. Anything else we say on that before we move on, given that this is the tight part of the show, Bruce?
I think I'm as tight as I can be.
Beautiful. Let's have a quick chat about Race Tasmania on the weekend. Speaking of people in sand pits and having dummy spits and throwing things around, Tony D'Alberto withdrew from the final race at the TCR meeting at Simmons
Plains. Well, Andrew, before you jump on to that.
So talk me through is what I was going to say to you, Bruce.
Sorry. I wasn't there, so I can only give you my observations and from what people have told me directly that were there about what happened. But I'll just say this. I did take the time on Sunday afternoon while we were working away producing the magazine. I had the TV going in the background. And I have to say the TCR races were very entertaining. There was a bit of biff and barge. There was wheels in the air and blokes spearing off and tank slappers at the sweeper. And, you know, it was actually quite entertaining and lots of passing and what have you. And, you know, it was good. I think we talked about this before. One of the things that I like about categories that aren't necessarily purely based on that horrible P word, they have a balance of performance. So all these little cars, they all have interesting performance characteristics in different parts of the track. So I'm getting digressed, I suppose, but the point is the racing was quite entertaining. The Trans Am racing on the weekend was down there was entertaining and close and a bit of rough and tumble and a bit of push and shove. So it actually made for reasonable TV. It was good TV. And then they had sports sedans, which were great. They had plenty of sports sedans. They haven't raced there for 30 years, so the precision sports sedans were good. The little XL series, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. And then they had their own sort of sedan class. But so it was a bloody good show. Gary and Barry need to be applauded for backing that. It was really their event. And somehow or other, our friends at CAMS have claimed it to be one part of their series, and good on them for doing that. They need to try and grab all the success they can. But yeah, so the TCR race. There was a race on Saturday afternoon, a point score race. There was a bit of a kerfuffle at the start. They had to red flag the race. It had only gone a lap. The cars queued up behind the safety car. Rather than start behind the rolling, start behind the safety car, they did a full standing start. And as you know, by the time you send cars off and they do their two warm-up laps and they buggerise around and stuff, by the time they got going again, when there was I think there might have been another delay, the race, because it was time certain, it was a timed race, it ended without them doing a sufficient amount of time, racing laps, for it to be regarded or being awarded points. So it was declared a non-points race. And there are a few people who were a bit peeved about that and agitated. And lo and behold, need to be careful here because, anyway... There were outside influences.
What word you're thinking of, Bruce, is reputations.
Well, there was outside influence exerted, which again shouldn't happen. That is, in fact, against the rules. And lo and behold, the race was declared up, and some points were allocated. Now that is directly against the rules of CAMS, but they went ahead and proceeded to do that. One of the other teams that were racing, in fact, it was Gary Rogers Motorsport, understanding the rules, and their team manager, who understands the rules and wants things to be done correctly, put in a protest. And, of course, because they put in a protest, they had to follow the procedures. And so that race was then made void with no points allocated. And this affected the starting positions for the race on Sunday. And poor old Tony was one of the people that was affected by that, and he was, as were a couple of other people. And apparently there was, dare I say, some aggravation in Tasmania, a little bit of pushing and shoving, and may not have been pushing and shoving. It was a bit of verbal stoushing and some people's names taken in very unpleasant light. And as it turned out, Tony D'Alberto, in a very, very serious performance, parked his car in the pit lane after the warm-up lap.
So he didn't race.
Talking about throwing your toys out of the sandpit.
It's right up there, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what he thought he was going to achieve, because all he's managed to do is, if he wasn't happy with the points he scored in the race that was declared a non-race, he'd certainly be. He certainly didn't score any points in the race. He didn't start. So he's, as you were going to say, Andrew, I said, I'm not sure how his sponsors would feel, and there'll be a bit of argy-bargy, I dare say, in coming weeks. But from what I'm reliably informed by people that were on the ground, very senior people in the sport, the whole thing was handled very badly. And I think that's the key takeaway. Yeah, it should never have got to that stage, and it's not the first time it's happened down there.
So as I understand it, there is more to come on the legal front.
Well, what's interesting is that Darth Vader and I had a conversation last week, and he's actually copped a clip from the new people at – we won't cop a clip from our friends at CAMS, because they – refused to talk to us. It's highly amusing, actually.
It's very hard to give us a clip when they won't talk to us.
Yeah, it's hard to get a clip when they won't talk to you, but that's okay. But Darth Vader apparently copped a clip because he was a bit critical of some of the officialdom at the 12 hour, and he was very quick to point out that he wasn't impressed by that. They're getting a little bit precious down there and a little bit thin-skinned, you might say.
Yeah, that's never a good look, is it?
But they have announced some very nice sponsors, and I did notice that their Speed Series have now got a new outerwear sponsor. So they're pounding away. They couldn't get the race meeting properly worked up, but geez, they've got some nice sponsors, and they're looking beautiful as a corporate entity. They're looking the goods. Not quite.
What's outerwear, Bruce? For those of
that's
us,
your jacket to keep the rain and the wind off you. You're quite, sport little jackety stuff. They've got they're very, very sharp in that regard. They've got good corporate sponsors, but their job, I'll just remind them.
Isn't that
them,
terrific that they've spent all that time and effort to go and get some nice clothing?
Yes, I will point out to them, though, their core business is actually running race meetings efficiently, successfully and safely. So just point that out. We're not so concerned as a competitor, someone that's been involved in motorsport for all these years. I really don't know. I don't care how they look, to be honest. In fact, I prefer not to see them at all because, that's the way that people that are in that sort of thing should be. It's like children. They should be seen but not heard, or in this case, not seen and not heard.
So who's our outerwear sponsor? Have we got one of them yet?
No, no.
You better work on that.
No. Yeah, I got lots of work to do in lots of areas, Andrew.
Miles behind, Supercars and Motorsport Australia. I mean, they've got shoe sponsors, outerwear sponsors.
Cap spot,
all sorts of things.
I think we need to have an underwear sponsor because honestly, the amount of crud that we have to deal with, we probably need a couple of changes.
Well, you're a big girl's. Maybe we could get some underwear for you because you're a bit of a girl's blouse wearer, so you could be good.
All right.
Is that inappropriate? Are we allowed to talk about girls' blouses?
Well, you were talking about me, and I didn't take offence, so it's okay.
Anyway, this is supposed to be the tight part, Andrew.
It's the tight part, isn't it?
Pull it back into
line.
Are we
talking about the underwear still?
Come back into me. Focus. Look at me. Denny Hamlin won the NASCAR race at Bristol. Van Gisbergen had the week off. Of course, Circuit of the Americas this weekend. So road course, I think we could see him go through to the playoffs with a win in the Xfinity, but he's also running the Cup Series.
That's going to be good. How will you contain your excitement?
Well, I'm hoping that they've got good bandwidth at the Australian Grand Prix Media Centre.
Yeah, no, they do.
Yeah, so that'll be all right. But we hear Jess is settling in quite well to the American lifestyle. So it's good to see what's going on there, which kind of leads us into a bit of a chat on Chicago, Bruce. So let's sit back and hear what we've got to say.
So, viewers, the Chicago Street Race is coming, and trust me, it's a weekend well worth the effort. But rather than planning it all and running around and booking flights and accommodation and hire cars and whatever else is needed, why not just join the Gilligan's Tour? So, if you want to watch Shane Van Gisbergen defend his inaugural title and try to add the Xfinity race as well this year, there is a very easy way to do it, and who knows, I might even join in as well. But as well as getting the race in, and the two-day pass with reserve seats to catch all the action, the team at Gilligan's have lined up a short Route 66 tour as well, taking in the first 100 miles of the famous road with an overnight stay in Pontiac, Illinois. And you'll also be in Chicago for the July 4th Independence Day celebrations. All up, it's a 10-day tour to the Windy City, leaving Australia or New Zealand on the 3rd of July with accommodation at the Congress Plaza Hotel on South Michigan, right on the edge of the track. So if you want to join the tour, go to Gilligan's Route 66.com to book a place now. But don't wait long because spots are limited.
All righty, Brucey, Chicago. Talk a little bit. AC Delco listened to our podcast one day, decided to buy a couple of those tickets, and they're giving them away.
Yes, some lucky purchasers of AC Delco products could put themselves in line for a very, very pleasant trip to hopefully see Shane Van Gisbergen perform another stunning victory in the streets of Chicago. And, there's lots of ways to enter. You can buy an AC Delco battery. You can go on AC Delco Parts Direct. But it's well worth looking if you're looking for parts for one of your rockets. then you're best to jump on the AC Delco Parts Direct or find out where you can buy AC Delco parts and, yeah, you might put yourself in line for a trip.
Yep, and it'll be a great trip to do if you get onto that. So urge everybody to pay attention to that part of the deal. Let's quickly go through. Not quickly, actually. We can go long here because we're only 18 minutes through, so we've got truckloads of time, Bruce. This is the Australian Grand Prix this weekend. It's 86th running of the Australian Grand Prix, which people don't seem to realise. It's got a history well before it was a Formula One race in Melbourne or in Adelaide. What do we like about the event here in Albert Park?
It's close to home. I can walk there.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, that's not a bonus for me.
Well, that's why we hold it here, because we don't want you down. So
Fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I think I've been up till this is the first year I'm not going, and part of that's down to the Max show, and part of it's down to the fact that, excuse me, you know, if whoever's decided that supercars don't deserve to be in the pit lane, well, that's another big cross for me as a supercars enthusiast and somebody also needs to work doing that stuff. So how many – this is the 20 watts in Melbourne?
It was 96.
Yeah, so it's the first one since 96 I haven't been to, but – I also went to a whole bunch of them in Adelaide, and I got a reminder of a little bit about what Adelaide was all about because I was there last weekend for their motorsport festival.
We're still talking about Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, no, but the thing about Melbourne is it's become like the Melbourne Cup, Bruce. It's no longer about the car racing. It's about the frocks and the nicely dressed people and all of that stuff. And the motorsport people are sort of got left behind.
Yeah, it's certainly a glamorous event. It's one of those things we did notice that over the last couple of years. There's lots of there are lots and lots of very elegantly dressed people. I mean, there's always been an element of that. I mean, Formula One's always attracted the ritzy and the rich and famous, the beautiful people. I remember I used to host plenty of my clients upstairs in the Paddock Club. It was a ritual, you know, to wander in there at 8:30 in the morning and have my first glass of bubbly in the Qantas Lounge or wherever it was back there. But it's certainly stepped up now. It's an event, and I still think it's a Grand Prix is sort of almost, I know this sounds a ridiculous thing to say, but I talked about this with some friends the other day. Formula One is more about the personalities and the hype and the driver. The cars themselves, I mean, there's nothing interesting about the cars really. I mean, I've said this time and time again, the cars were all white and the drivers all had white driving suits and white helmets. You'd be struggling with no numbers on them. I doubt very much that most people would be able to work out which car's which. They all look exactly the same. They all sound the same. I mean, it's another stupid parody formula. I mean, the racing has never been closer in terms of ultimate lap speed in qualifying. You know, the whole field's separated by a few tenths, but it's producing the most boring and dull racing we've seen for a long time. I remember as a kid growing up watching Formula One, and the cars were the stars. I mean, the cars were interesting. They were all different. They all had these wacky ideas about what would work and what didn't work. And so you had all these amazing cars. You had six-wheeled Tyrrells and you had Ferraris that were trying to be Grand Effects but weren't. And you had the Lotus 78 and then you had the FW07 and you had the Arrows, all these beautiful, amazing cars. And it evolved and they, but, you know, over a period of time. But this dumbing down the FIA for Formula One have created with these new generation cars having all to be exactly the same and all the rest of the stuff, it's taken away from the technical aspect and being interesting. And now it's about, you know, who's who. And you know that Formula One is no longer about motor racing. When you pick up I was in the supermarket the other day and there it is on the front cover of the new idea or one of those crappy bloody gossip magazines, and there's
Who magazine?
One of them. But there's Christian Horney and Ginger Spice or whatever her name is on the front cover, and my Facebook page got cancelled, and I unfriended her, and you think really? And that's what Formula One's become. I mean, it's look, there's plenty of people that still love to go and watch it. And you know, lots of our friends will be there, and there's lots of people that we know attending. But it is an event, and you know, there's lots of people there that wouldn't know one end of a bloody Formula One car from the other. But again, it's an event, and funnily enough, I think it's probably more accessible and a little bit more user friendly than the Melbourne Cup. I mean, there's not so many drunk people, and there's lots of kids there. There's lots of young women getting around. I don't think you see that at the Melbourne Cup these days. That's just a, dare I say, a self-stimulation fest, for want of a better word.
Yes. Well, it's interesting. I did corporate for the first few years of the Grand Prix here in Melbourne. And as you say, sitting in the corporate boxes of people, they got no idea what's out, what's happening, what's going on. You're trying to tell them, you know, look for this coloured helmet, look for this, look for that, whatever. And, yeah, no idea at all. But that said, you know, it's good that it's there. It's increasing things. It brings money into the sport in Australia. It's a pity that supercars kind of loses out a little bit, given it's a big event for them in terms of the coverage that they get on TV, etc. So,
you know, but Andrew, it's worse than that. I mean, for supercars, it is a big. It is a big event for them. I mean, we talked about this the other day. You know, they've got the Thursday race, Thursday Twilight race. Well, you know, they're going to try and claim that that's a big thing for them. They've got the track to themselves and all that sort of stuff. But it's a championship round, and yet it's fully compromised. You know, if halfway through the race on Thursday night or Friday or Saturday or Sunday it starts to rain, they're not going to be able to race on in effectively, because they're allowed one wheel gun in the pit lane, and effectively there'll be no way that, you know, that you can effectively and safely change a wheel or a tyre. So, you know, they've really copped it. And to add insult to injury, I think the greatest joke of all times, and I'm yet to have a decent answer, but I think I know the answer, there's no interaction between the supercars paddock area and the general public. And I noticed several of the supercar teams, like Chazzy Mostert, put up a post today to say, you can't come to us, but we're going to come to you. So they're going to go out into the great unwashed and mingle, dare I say it, mingle with the public. But it's some sort of a joke that they can't, that the public can't get near the supercars. And I can only assume it's because, and it'd have to be an occupational health and safety issue, wouldn't it? Have to be an orange or yellow vest issue, because the cars are going to have to be moving around. And, you know, it's just, you know, we live in this nanny state, so of course somebody might get run over.
Well, it would be good to find out what the real reason for it is. So I think we'll try and see if we can get to the bottom of that over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you get an official answer about that, I'll give you a crisp folding $20 note.
Jesus,
that's real money, not one of these transfers. Because I can tell you, that'll be even harder to find out what's happening in Bing Bing, Barclay versus Scaife.
Well, at least that'll be, if I do that, it's the most money I've been paid for auto action for a while. So that'll be all right. Let's get back to the racing though. Can anyone beat Max Verstappen this week? And can get up there?
Well, thanks for your vote of confidence there, Paul.
I meant about, I'm talking about Max. I think Oscar could go well, but.
Yeah, look, as far as Oscar's concerned, let's look at, we'll get back to Max in a minute. How's Oscar going to perform? There's a genuine chance that Oscar could make the podium. If you look at what they did last year, they rolled out of the first two rounds in the Middle East. I'm talking about McLaren. They were extremely uncompetitive. Oscar had only, that was his first two Grand Prix. He hadn't raced for a year. He rocked into Melbourne and, you know, he scored points, and that was fantastic. You take Oscar now, he's a hardened, he's done a full season of racing. The McLaren is a very competitive car. He's able to regularly beat his teammate, who's regarded as one of the best talents in the sport. And the thing about a track like Adelaide, it throws up, Melbourne, Albert Park. I started to say the A word. The thing about Albert Park is it throws up a lot of variation.
Yeah.
And things, sometimes the cars that work well at some tracks tend not to be quite as sharp at somewhere like Albert Park. So there's a genuine chance. I'm not talking it up for the sake of it. You know, there's a real chance that the McLarens could be super competitive there. Can they beat Max? Well, The likelihood of Max being beaten comes from the two red cars. I doubt that his teammate can beat him. But genuinely, you know, and let's not forget, I mean, it isn't a permanent racetrack, although it's as close to a racetrack as any street track in the world can be. But who knows? I mean, there's lots of variations. You know, who knows? Max might have.
Apart from anything else, Bruce, you're from Melbourne. Tell me what the weather's going to be like. On Sunday,
well, it's autumn in Melbourne.
That time of the year,
it's 1% chance of rain on every day, and in the mid 20s.
This is, in fact, the best time of the year in Melbourne. Autumn is delightful. The weather is very stable. Doesn't tend to rain very much. You know, it's a lovely time of the year. In fact, it's been quite warm here again. I think it got close to 30 degrees. It was a bit windy, but there's no genuine chance of rain, I don't think. But no. You know, can Max be beaten? Oh, look, something's probably got to go wrong. If he's going to be beaten legitimately, it's probably going to come from one of the red cars, or he might get taken out. Who knows? But don't rule Oscar out for being a star. He's already a star, and for him, you know, he could have a ripper weekend. You just don't know. It's a different scenario this year.
What would it mean to the sport to have him on the podium at Melbourne?
Well, it'd mean a lot for the sport, and it'd mean a lot for him. It'd mean a lot for McLaren, and it raises his value locally from a point of view of potential sponsorship and all that sort of stuff. It'd add a substantial amount of money to his bank balance. And one of the things I noticed just recently driving around Melbourne, you know, he's got that little sponsor partner with Quadlock, who is a fixing device for your mobile phones in your car or on your bike or whatever it is. Now, they also back Shane Van Gisbergen, and they back Paul Wheel and some other people in the off-roading and in the Baja and all those sort of off-road racing, whatever. But you drive around Albert Park and there's massive billboards with Oscar. It's huge. Yeah. So the kid's gaining a profile. You know, he's a genuine star of the sport now. There's no argument. And I think that Zach was very wise to sign both Lando and Oscar up in the middle of the year when he got the tip that Lewis was bailing out of Mercedes, because one of those blokes would have been there.
All right, so you're talking about the red cars. You reckon they're the next best? Obviously, the Red Bulls we're expecting to be really good. What about Mercedes? They've been a bit disappointing so far.
So Mercedes basically went down a blind alley for the last couple of years. So they're coming from a much further position behind. Whether they get their car right, you know, this weekend or sometime later in the year, nobody really knows yet. But they could be brilliant or they might be nowhere. They have struggled up till now. And the interesting thing for me really is watching George Russell and the new Ferrari driver go at it. And, you know, while they're battling inside the team, are they driving the team forward?
Well, it's more likely going to require those magical upgrades at some point, isn't it? Not just fine-tuning what they got. They're going to have to plug something else onto the car to make it work.
Yep.
And you know, what is interesting, we talked about before, the McLarens could really come out swinging again, because this is a lots of high speed corners, even though it's a road course. So it could be quite an interesting thing. Maybe not for first place, but behind the battle for the rest of the spots on the podium could be quite entertaining.
Yes, and it'll be interesting to see if the Alpine can not be 19th and 20th.
Well, or even worse, remember last year?
Yeah, so I was
in the wall having a huggy fest.
Yeah, and maybe 19th and 20th would be better than the concrete they were in last year.
Yes. Now, I want to touch on something that you guys have tried to avoid over the last few weeks. I want to talk about the Red Bull Racing scandal, because for me, it's just getting more and more interesting by the day. Because what's happened now is that the person who's making the allegations has appealed the decision by Red Bull not to find anything about Christian Horner.
Well, is this person? Can I ask? Is this person a woman?
Yes.
Can I?
As far as we know, is a woman, but they haven't
told. No, it is a woman. It's been said. They have said that she's been stood down on full pay. And this is the whole
That's right.
This is the whole problem with the thing, Andrew. There is no straight line with the information about this. It's coming from everywhere all at once. And who's telling the truth? How much of the truth are they telling? And what's their agenda? You can't, they're never going to be able to unravel this. You can't report it. I can't report it because you can't unravel it. The only time it's ever going to be unraveled is if there's an outcome with a black and white thing at the end of it. Otherwise.
And you can guarantee that there'll be some sort of a private settlement and someone's going to cop a big quid and they'll have to keep their mouths shut or there'll be a book published.
Yeah, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes people just want revenge.
Oh, there's a nasty thing.
That's a very, very dangerous thing to be trying in the Formula One world. Remember when some people wanted to have some revenge against Max Mosley and they leaked all the information about his private entertainments after hours and it backfired on the people who did it?
Yes, no, exactly. But I think it's going to get a bit more feisty before it settles down. So, as I say, the FIA is involved now. The appeal is on.
What can the FIA do? The FIA can do nothing about it. It's an internal corporate thing involving the Red Bull company. How can the FIA get involved?
It depends on what standards there are for acceptable behaviours in Formula One.
This but, yeah, and this hasn't happened. And arguably, has this happened in Formula One? Has it have got a look? What happened the last time? The FIA got involved, and there were allegations made about Susie Wolf and Toto. And where did that go? Round and round and round, exactly like this, and then blew out. Nothing happened.
Yes, well,
I mean, do we actually know? I mean, I just think the whole thing's a joke. I wish I could come up with somebody, wish someone had claimed some bloody scandalous thing against me so that I could get all this attention. But I live in a very boring world at the moment. The reality of it is, do we know what he's supposed to have done? Did he drag her kicking and screaming into the back of his bloody BMW or whatever he drives? Did he look at her out the corner? What happened? Was there an actual exchange or was it? Do we actually know what happened? And if not, do we care?
No,
seriously, it is crap.
Yes, I care about it. What you need to do
is go and buy another copy of Who magazine.
I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. Take him out into the bloody paddock and give him a gun each. Take him out into a – let him go out in the paddock and give him a gun each. Let him go.
Are you talking about the race board then or some other stuff?
No, the race board civilised – the stoush in the race board civilised compared to this crap.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let's move on then. Supercars at the Grand Prix. What are we expecting?
Are they?
They are. Fourth tier.
How many people do you reckon are going to be in the grandstands when they race on Thursday in the twilight?
How many
people do you reckon will be there?
About 30,000.
About as many as go to Cardinia Park.
Hey?
About as many as go to Cardinia Park.
I don't think there'll be that many people there.
I'm agreeing with you, Bruce. I think it's a terrible thing.
It's a TV event.
Yeah, but is it a TV event?
Thursday night one is, absolutely.
No.
Is it on TV?
How many people are going to be watching it, even at home on TV on Thursday night?
Good question there. We'll wait to see. I'm sure they'll get record ratings.
Ooh. I don't think I'll be there on Thursday night.
There's a function that I've been asked to attend.
Really? You've got a function?
Yeah.
Are you pleading guilty or not guilty, Bruce?
All right, so what are we thinking?
Put it this way, I'll be at His Majesty's service, so it could depends.
So last year we saw Brody Kostecki's win his first race weekend, etc. Brody Kostecki.
Who?
Yeah, you know. Yes.
The Invisible Man.
So that changed the whole trajectory of the championship. Do we think the same thing's going to happen? Like we spoke briefly about it last week. Have we changed any of our thought patterns? Do we think somebody else is going to pop up?
I want to know what's going to happen with the Mustangs.
Well, as I said last week, and I'm getting a bit bored about talking about the same stuff, Andrew, you're going to need to juice up the script a bit. If they haven't stuffed it,
a race more than once every 4 weeks, we probably could.
If they haven't stuffed around with Chazzy's car, I reckon he's a fair chance to be pretty quick there. Although there is a long straight on the main straight, is quite long. Coming onto it is the car. You've got to have a fair bit of corner speed coming onto it,
yep.
And it's not long enough for a straight line speed difference to be effective. But the rest of the track really is a. Although it doesn't look like a Bathurst, it's a similar sort of a concept. There's lots of high-speed flowing corners.
Yep.
And if that Mustang, if they've got Chazzy's car set up in a similar vein and they haven't tried to chase straight line, which I don't think they will, it should be quite quick.
I reckon he's more than – I think he's most likely to win this weekend. I really think if they've made – that. You know, the whole philosophy thing they showed at Bathurst where they know how to look after the tyres. Chazzy goes well there. You know, it's about he's well overdue for a win, and I reckon he wants to take the fight up to him.
Yeah, so he wants to have a crack at winning the Happy Birthday Larry Perkins Trophy.
Well, we did talk. We wished Larry, just a side thing, we did actually wish Larry happy birthday on Monday evening, rang him up. He was up the farm, had a little bit of a chat, wished him a happy birthday.
How old is he now? 74.
74, And it's quite interesting. I've known Larry since 1977. He's a lot less grumpier than he was back then.
Isn't he? He's turned into a nice bloke.
He's actually very pleasant these days. He's a true what you'd regard as an elder statesman. I mean, he sort of, you know, I quite like him. He shows up in his cowboy boots and his bloody... And his jeans and his bloody corduroy jacket to hand out the trophy. Looks like a country squire. Does
that's
the
who
job.
He is. I reckon that's exactly. Great. He's not getting dressed up. He's not up there to put on a show. He's there because he's a racer.
Yes, very much so. Now, let's move on. Race Tasmania. We spoke about it a bit before, so we're not going to talk about the TCR or anything like that. So the Gary Rogers Perpetual Trophy went to a young 14-year-old, Oliver Wickham, which was awarded, I believe, by Gary. Gary chose who he thought was the right person based on their racecraft and all that sort of stuff. And Jeremy Bennett walked away with the $10,000 check for being first place.
It's a pretty handy prize. It was the young chap that won the Gary Rogers Award was presented by Gary, and it was about racecraft and driving and just general appearance, and it's a bit of an encouragement award for people who present themselves really well. And that young man's going to go a long way. He's 14 years old. Over the 8 races that were held, there was a battle between himself and Shaw and Bennett, who's the reigning Tassie XL race. And it was really good. He was in the fight the whole weekend. He's only 14 years old. The other two guys have been racing XLs pretty efficiently. And what a great prize to be racing for $10,000 in an XL.
Which would you prefer though, Bruce? Would you prefer your 10 grand, or would you like Gary Rogers to know who you are and prepared to help give you a bit of a kick along in your career?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, this kid's been noticed by a few people. I've talked to him about quite a few people about him over the last 12 months or so. He's going to go places because people are looking at him. Look, I think if you're the other young kids that are racing XLs over there, the 10 grand's going to go a long way. It's probably what keeps them on the racetrack. I mean, that's a lot of money. In fact, a comment was made to me, they were a bit surprised that a couple of the hot shots from Victoria didn't take the time to come over and try and steal the 10 grand, but they didn't, and it was fitting that a local kid won it. But, look, I think it's a great thing. It's great encouragement for those races, and like the HQs were 30 years ago, the XLs are a fabulous breeding ground for and give lots of people without a lot of money the opportunity and the budget to be able to go racing.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's actually a pretty good class of racing, isn't it? You look at it on the outside and you think, Hyundai XL, blah, blah, blah. But the racing's good. They're learning a lot from it. I mean, it's one of those ones that Paul Morris wants people to go running in as well. So I think there's a lot they can learn and show from it. So it's a re- really, really good class.
Well, it's quite often in Queensland, for example, a few of the young supercar drivers will often be teamed up in their endurance races. I know Brock Feeney and a few of those types have been racing XLs even while they've been racing supercars. And again, when you see young kids that can go up and race against those guys, and, you know, they started out as $5,000 cars. 888 will build you one for about 50 grand these days. But, again, it's accessible motorsport. It's developed into a bit of a high-tech, sophisticated thing. You've got to have the right engine and the right exhaust system and the right this and the right that. But it does give these kids the opportunity to go racing and, you know, three young talents put on a hell of a show over those eight races at two different racetracks over the weekend, 2 weekends. It was great.
But the great thing is looking at the magazine and the photographs we've got in there of the whole pile of the XLs firing into a corner. And there's three cars sitting in the background watching. There's a Cortina, an old Cortina, an old Tirana, and an EH Holden having a look on. It's like the Cars movie, a couple of oldies watching it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's only in Tasmania, you'd imagine. But don't forget but anyway, look, it was a great event. And as I said before, Gary and Barry, very enthusiastic about supporting racing in Tasmania, and good on them for doing so.
Well, it's not just Tasmania. They remember they held that whole winter event last year just because they wanted to do something up in that area as well. So they're great people for motorsport, but not that we want to do the Barry Darry show too much. PG, talk to me about Adelaide.
Well, it's the capital of South Australia, and it's on. So I got hold my hand up straight away. I got an airline ticket from Ford. To go across for the motorsport festival. I had no idea what to expect, because there's been lots of sort of hodgepodge stuff over the last few years with this. They use a shortened part of the Grand Prix circuit. So they go from the hairpin down to the centre chicane, turn hard right, zot up through has been a pit road or a marshalling area, and then turn hard right again and then rejoin the circuit. So you've got to say it's not the most inspiring piece of road I've ever been on. But you remember the Blue Beastie from Bathurst, the Ford Supervan, the 2,000 horsepower? Yeah. So they bolt me into the passenger seat of that, and I get in, and guess who's driving it? Liam Lawson. You may have heard of him from Formula One. He's a fairly handy young bloke. So he's done precisely two laps of the track with an engineer with a laptop. We fire out, and Brucey, you're the technical man. How fast do you reckon the supercars come out of that hairpin? By the time they get the centre chicane, how fast do you reckon they're going?
I know in the Tirana I get to fourth gear for maybe a second, and it's pretty low gear. I reckon a supercar's probably doing 100 miles an hour, maybe 170 k's.
240.
A supercar?
No, in the blue, in this electric thing, in the super truck, we were doing 240.
It is all-wheel drive, isn't it?
Oh, it's just stupid everything. Anyway, enough of that. That part was brought to you by Ford. It was fantastic. Everywhere I looked, there was something interesting and good. Now, I've been to the Goodwood Festival of Speed a number of times in the UK. It is exactly the same sort of thing. There's a guy called Adam Gowans I know, and Chaz and Owen Kelly. They've got Formula One cars. They own the Tyrrells that scored the last podium for Tyrrell in. So there's that. Then I'm walking along. There's Alan Heafy, who you may remember from the old Nissan days, and also the Fiat I raced at Bathurst. He's there looking after a whole bunch of stuff. Everywhere you look, there's somebody. Roland Dane's over there now. He had a bit of a mishap with his cars on the way over.
Yeah, Darth Vader's truck had a malfunction, and his two spaceships.
He's got an Audi Quattro E2, which is the best sounding motor. It's the 5-cylinder Audi turbo rally car. It is its very own fireworks show, and he's got Possum Bourne's old Subaru. But he was hanging around with a bunch of blokes, and some of those blokes owned Ferrari F40s and Ferrari F50s, and it was just everywhere you look, there was something exciting. There were HDT Tiranas with Marlborough written down the side. And No, no. There are lots of cars over there with cigarette advertising on them. And the bloke who runs the Bathurst Motor Museum, he was over there driving Bobby Morris's Tirana, the Bathurst winner.
I saw that the other day at Phillip Island.
Yeah. But, you know, there was lots and lots of good cars there. And the crowd on Saturday was huge, really, really big crowd. I think it's an event which has got to what they call it in the advertising world, critical mass. I think it's going to be something we all have to go to in future years, because there are lots of good cars there and lots of interesting people took it. Damon Hill was there. David Braben was there.
I thought you said interesting people. So keep going.
Gunther Steiner was there. And guess what? As I was walking out of breakfast, there was our Prime Minister. But he didn't go in the motorsport. I don't know what Mr. Albanese was doing in Adelaide, but he should have been there too because it was good. Brucey, you should take the trainer over there and have a bit of a squirt around.
Oh, yeah, I could. It's not really racing, mate. I'm sorry.
Paul.
It's nothing more than an exhibition. I've seen people whose heart rates get quite excited and they get a little bit firm in their underpants when they think they're going to do laps of that joint. It's a bit like having a bath and pretending you're in a 100-meter pool. I mean, it's not really a.
No, I know.
It's not really a thing.
But the other good thing is they have a parade of cars on the Friday night, and they actually drive through downtown Adelaide, which is interesting.
They're actually quite impressive. I remember driving through downtown Melbourne in 1997 in my Formula Holden.
And I remember that.
It was just before the Melbourne Grand Prix. It might have been the Wednesday. We were supposed to. Anyway, we formed up at the Queen Victoria Market in a big car parking area, and they just relayed the tram tracks all the way down Swanston Street. And beautiful, smooth concrete. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so they had this parade of cars, you know, everything from little old Austin A40s right through to supercars and everything. And the last cars that went down there were the Formula Holdens. There were two of us. And we were only supposed to do 60 kilometres an hour, and I waited.
I remember.
I waited until there was a large gap. And I can tell you, I was well and truly on the hard cut in second gear and sucking all the, because it was a Grand Effex, semi-Grand Effex car, all the freshly laid concrete up off the tram lines. It was fantastic. Biggest problem was trying to do a U-turn out of the front of the town hall.
Yep, and as you and I also remember, Bruce, that was something that happened once, because then the people in the reflecto via jacket said, "Oh, we didn't think it was going to be like that."
No, that's right. I might have spoiled it. I might have spoiled it for the rest of the generations of racing stars. But I had fun.
Let's start wrapping this show up. Bruce, take us through this edition of the magazine.
Well, Andrew, it's the pre-Grand Prix issue. There's lots of news and features in the lead up to the Grand Prix this weekend, lots of insight, a bit of a focus on how our two young locals, Daniel Ricciardo and Oscar Piastri, of course we've got Oscar's Piastri's column in this issue exclusively to Auto Action. We've got a ripper of a story. Talk about a scoop. You sat down with Paul Morris, Andrew, and we've got the big feature. He actually made it onto the front cover. Australia's Driver Whisperer. Run us through that.
Yeah. Well, the idea for that was just watching some of the people who've gone through the Paul Morris driving school. If we start back with the Chas Mostert when he won Bathurst, all the way through to Brody Kostecki winning. So I think he's becoming a bit of a guru in that sense, and it was good to talk to him about the old days with Frank Gardner and how it drove the philosophy behind what he's doing. So good little yarn. I think it's
I'll have to explain who Frank Gardner is, because, you know, I knew him really well. He was a lovely bloke.
Very old bloke with a terry toweling hat.
Well, yeah, but the thing about him was he was one of the first guys to turn being a race car driver into a science, art and a science. Yes. And he actually, I remember once he and I had a stand-up blue because I left foot brake in cars because I learned to do that for rallying. And he said, "You're an idiot, young Paul. You shouldn't be doing that. It unbalances you. Your left foot is to be locked onto the floor to keep you in the – and actually the correct – he taught me the correct driving position that day. And apart from left foot braking, which I still do, I listened pretty much to everything old because he was nicknamed Curly. Old Curly told me back then.
It's interesting. I did one of the first driving courses they did when they opened up the normal place and did the same thing with Frank Gardner. And there are still things that that just happen now automatically from what he taught me. He was very good at teaching the little basic things and the memory parts of it, the muscle memory.
The one percenters, that which are the things that make all the difference in motorsport, yes, and saving your life on the road just quietly.
Absolutely. So I think he, along with Jim Russell, were the ones who kind of pioneered this whole driver training thing as a much more serious craft. So Paul Morris has taken that on and he's doing a great job at it. So really good little story, and I think we've got a couple of little bits and pieces in and around that, haven't we?
We've obviously got lots of coverage from the Adelaide Festival. We've got lots of coverage from Phillip Island. And a man you knew well, one of our great photographers, passed away last week. Yeah, so we've got a nice tribute in there that Edwina wrote for us. It's with some lovely photos that we got from Tony Loxley as well. And there's look, it's another jam-packed issue. Heaps of speedways, lots of local coverage, Formula One coverage, lots of news, and you know, as I said, lots of stuff from Phillip Island. It's just a jam-packed issue, and of course we've got.
And the good thing is, if you get it in the post like I do, it'll turn up and save you a trip down to the lottery stand, otherwise previously known as the newsagent.
Absolutely. So don't forget, look for it. It's got Oscar Piastri's car on the cover, a bit of a grip shot with Paul Morris underneath it, but you can't miss that papaya McLaren with Oscar on the cover there. So
papaya, such a lovely colour.
Isn't it? It's a great colour. I wish I could afford a McLaren in papaya myself, but I cannot. So this weekend, guys, Formula One supercars in Melbourne, obviously, MotoGP in Portugal, World Rally Championship in Kenya, so they've gone from the snow to the dirt. The thermal race in for IndyCars, fascinating. No points, but $1 million up for grabs. So,
that's even better than Gary Rogers' price. That's even better than your 10 grand in Tassie.
Maybe there's a trophy for somebody that they'd rather than the $1 million.
Yep, I don't see that happening in IndyCar, do you?
No, not at all. Anyway, NASCAR and Xfinity Coda. So that's the big races that are on this weekend. Guys, don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast, and the digital magazine is available online and in the shops tomorrow for the shops and online tonight. And sign up for your free digital magazine starting in April. That's about it. What do we want to say? Go say goodbye now, Bruce.
It's all good. The latest issue's on sale in the newsagents, and we're pressing on at warp speed.
We certainly are. And PG, thanks for your time.
Yeah, it's always good, and I'm looking forward to the variety this weekend. There's so much on. It doesn't matter what you like or who your fan favourite is. I know you vote for SVG every time, but it doesn't matter who you're into. You're going to see him this weekend, and hopefully we'll see some good racing. If it's not in Formula One, it'll probably be at the Super Duper cars at Albert Park. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, or even the Formula 2, Formula 3, which would be
interesting. What's that? Sorry.
A couple of good Aussies in Formula 3, so keep an eye on Christian Mansell and Tommy Smith.
Yeah, no, they're both good operators, and young Mansell had a podium at the last the first weekend of Formula 3 this year. So that's a big, big achievement for a young guy. And he was quite quick last year. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all fun. Thank you.
Yes, and I know it's a really good website story today on Lockie Hansen from what do they call it, the Pro Series 2000, whatever, but Indy 2000 next. What's it called, Bruce?
Pro Series.
Anyway, we'll call it one of the IndyCar series. So really good story on the website today, so go and have a look at that as well. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week after the Grand Prix, and hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
That was the Auto Action Rev Limiter. We'd love you to subscribe and like our podcast and leave some comments. You never know when we're giving something away or we'll use your thoughts to guide the show. And don't forget to get your copy of Auto Action, the digital version. It's out every second Wednesday night. And the print version is available on Thursday wherever you buy your magazines. Thanks for listening, and thanks for understanding.